Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 76.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. Today we're going to be talking about phone addiction, how to recognize it when you know you have a problem, how to see this problem in others, and what to do about it. We all know I deleted Facebook off my phone ages ago. As we were saying last episode when we went to do a Facebook Live with Kelly at ProBlogger, and I couldn't because I didn't have the app. I don't even have the Pages and Groups app on my phone anymore. What I do is because I do need to do Facebook Lives and things quite regularly, but I have those scheduled into my calendar. So I just upload the app before I go to do those. So when I do my live lessons on Crochet Coach, and I teach blogging through Secret Bloggers Business as well, and I do a monthly live broadcast in the Facebook group, I just download it before I do those. But last week, Kelly deleted Facebook off her phone and she was like writing on Facebook going, deep breaths, deep breaths. So how are you feeling about that now, Kelly?
Oh, all right. Well, the main reason I got it off was because I was finding when I was going on Facebook, like I was, you know, I'd go on there, I'd scroll, see what, you know, see everything that was new. And then when I was finished, I would go back up to the top and I would refresh to see if there was anything new that I'd missed. And I was like, I think this might be a problem. And I will just say, I wasn't doing this during my workday. I'm pretty good about not being on Facebook during the workday unless it's to be in one of the groups saying something that needs to be said, or like, you know, on my lunch break or something. But I did get to wondering, you know, I was doing it during my leisure time, but I did get to wondering if my leisure time could be better spent than scrolling. Also, I saw Paul Cunningham, who was in our Straight and Curly group. I saw him at ProBlogger and he was talking about the benefits of not having Facebook on your phone. And mainly he was coming at it from the benefits of not always using your phone as an antidote to boredom, which is something I definitely do. Like, I will not be bored for 1 millisecond. Like, if I have to wait in line, if I have to wait on hold, if I have to wait for coffee to, you know, brew, I get on my phone. So, and it's Facebook that I go to as a general rule. So, yeah, so he was a big advocate for it. You had already deleted Facebook off your phone. So I was like, okay, maybe I need to do this. I was curious to see if it would change my life. So I did it.
Has it changed your life?
No.
Have you sought out alternative ways to access it?
Yes. I know. Here's the thing. I agree it was a massive problem that I was using it as an antidote to boredom, but I realized I was very quickly able to surmount that simply by telling myself not to do it anymore, because that's like the upholder in me is like, okay, Kelly, stop using your phone as an immediate antidote to boredom. Instead, just get used to just sitting there and thinking and being, you know, being alone with your thoughts. So as soon as I told myself to do that, I was able to do it. I didn't really need to not have the Facebook app on my phone to achieve that. And the other thing I realized is that I really only go on Facebook when I am at leisure. And I do enjoy going on there when I'm at leisure because I like seeing what people are up to. I like going into our various groups and being part of discussions in there. Yeah, so I haven't put it back on yet.
And I think that's a really healthy approach actually to admit that Facebook is enjoyable, because a lot of conversations around addiction to phones and addiction to social media are all negative, and there's this whole movement of get off Facebook and get out into real world and Facebook is evil. And it actually doesn't have to be binary like that. You can get on Facebook and have great conversations. Because I live very far away from most of my core friendship group, and I love going on Facebook because I pop on there at night and I get to see, you know, my close friends and their babies doing cute things, and I get to see my friends are, you know, doing a fundraiser and, you know, they want money and for this thing, and, you know, they're sharing this funny article, and I really enjoy it. So I don't think that anyone should ever feel guilty about enjoying Facebook and wanting to spend time on it. It's just when you've read all of the Facebook and you're looking for more of the Facebook.
And then you go, and then you get annoyed. Like, I'll go back up to the top and I'll go, oh, I'm just seeing the same conversations again. I'm like, well, if you're seeing the same conversations again, Kelly, get off Facebook.
It's time to back
away. Yeah. So I think what it was an interesting experiment in how I use my phone. So like I said, I found it quite, you're gonna say this as well, I think. I don't feel I'm addicted to my phone quite as badly as, I don't know, whatever people call phone addiction is. Like if I go to lunch with friends or if I'm out having a good time, I'm the worst person in the world because I didn't take a single photo at ProBlogger because I was too busy talking to people and enjoying myself. And not saying that people who took photos weren't busy enjoying themselves. But what I'm saying is it just wasn't on my mind. Like I didn't think, oh, I'm having fun. I must capture this on my phone. I just don't even think about it.
I'm very similar as well. Like I can safely say that I'm not addicted to my phone. I can get a little bit scrolly on Instagram at night because there's no Facebook, but I get bored of Instagram really quickly. I have my crochet coach account, which I love because I only follow other crocheters on that account. Yeah. And so that is an incredibly niche thing and I adore it. But when I'm on Smaggle, it's a shit show. Like I follow so many different people and it's kind of a nightmare now and there's ads and stuff on there. Yep. So it like, I mean, ads are fine and they're quite good because they're targeted. So I don't mind them that much, but then occasionally something will pop up and I'll think like, why are you in my feed?
Yep.
That's not your algorithm. You've read me very badly. But if I'm going to go for a walk and get a coffee, I'll leave my phone at home for, 45 minutes. And if I go to a mate's place, my phone will be in my bag the whole time. Yeah. I do feel like my generation, and the generation below me are quite unfairly targeted for being addicted to phones when I actually think baby boomers are the worst. if I'm hanging around with baby boomers, they're the ones that are looking on Facebook and stalking everyone and taking Instagram photos and uploading them and stuff. Like it's sometimes I struggle when I'm at my mother's house to get her to put her phone down.
Oh, right. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Like she loves Facebook. She absolutely loves it because she's like me. She's really nosy. So she'll jump on Facebook and like check people out and I'll be like, Mom, you need to put your phone down. Like we're having conversation.
Well, you see, the phone for me is my preferred form of connecting with people. So I don't love connecting with people in real life unless I know them really, really well. But for people I don't know really, really, really well, my preferred way to get to know them is through social media or following their blogs or just connecting them with them in a very it's a long game.
Arm's length.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, it's just like I don't think well on my feet. And of course then I overthink everything that I've said and I overthink every if their eyelash flickers, I'm like, what does that mean? Oh my God, like I said something wrong. So whereas the online world or being able to talk to people in the online world, it just removes all of that for me and I can just chill out. And if I need to think about something before I say it, I can do that and not worry about, do I look like a complete idiot? So I feel like if I don't have the Facebook app on my phone, like I will go on Safari and use that. But, that's suboptimal. It's such a pain in the butt to try and use Facebook in that way.
I recently logged out of my Safari Facebook on my phone because I did find that I was defaulting to that and that's made such a big difference. I pretty much only Facebook when I'm actually sitting on my computer.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Yes.
So let's go through some tips for cutting phone addiction. But I think it was really important to kind of set up that using your phone and being on social media isn't necessarily a bad thing, but if you're finding that it's getting in the way of your leisure time or you being present in situations where there are other people around, here are some things that you can do to help you out with that. Also, if you are someone who works from home and you find it really difficult to concentrate when you don't have someone looking over your shoulder.
Yeah.
So my first tip is to delete the apps off your phone or use OffTime for Android. So OffTime is an app that I discovered this week. I did download it. It's not as good for iOS, which is Apple, because Apple doesn't currently let you block other apps with an app.
No, right.
which is kind of good, but also kind of bad because what OffTime can do for Android is that it just blocks your access to certain apps, which would be super useful. When it works on Apple, what it does is it just kind of clocks the amount of time that you use on particular apps. So it gives you a report. It basically shames you into not using your phone as much. My major trick that I've brought up several times is to just put your phone on airplane mode. It just reminds me that, you know, I shouldn't be using it. And every time I pick it up, I'll be like, why is my phone not working? And then I'll see that it's on airplane mode, and then it'll be a reminder that I was, in fact, not supposed to be using my phone.
Yeah, that's a good one. My major tip, I'm going to share, like, my other tips are mainly ones from people that other people in the group have shared. But this first one is mine. And my thing is, I think it's really important to understand what exactly you're addicted to in regard to your phone, because then only then can you address the problem. So like for me, like I love my phone because I'm a bit of an information junkie, and like so if a thought pops into my head, like literally, you know, what type of plant is that I just walked past on the street, or you know, what shade of blue is that in the sky right now, like if something pops into my head, I just need to know the answer right now. And I love the fact that my phone can generally tell me. And when we did our digital detox last year, like that was really the thing that I missed. Like I didn't miss social media, but I missed information access, like quick and easy information access. And yes, I could go to my computer, but I also really love like being out and about and being able to find out anything that I need to know in that moment. So that's what I'm kind of quite addicted to. And I also mentioned like before that I'm quite addicted to the connection that I get through my phone because, yeah, I like interacting with people in that way. I'm much more in control of it. But there is also a tiny part of me that feels like I'm missing out on something important or some kind of important happening if I'm not on Facebook every day. That said, my phone is mainly just, it's an antidote to boredom. Once I know that I've been using it as an antidote to boredom, I can go, okay, let's do something about that. When you're bored, you either got to learn to sit with it and be in the moment, or, you know, carry a book with you everywhere so that you're not just scrolling on your phone when you're bored. So I think that's the kind of thing, you know, it's too easy for people to go, oh, you're so addicted to your phone because they see you on it all the time. But what they might not realize is that, you know, you might be a mum who only gets to work 5 hours a day and has social media accounts to manage, and then uses, you know, this time in the doctor's surgery to manage those social media accounts. And she's actually being quite efficient because then means that when she gets home and she's with her kids, she then doesn't have to do that. So I think we have to be careful not to point the finger at people when it's not warranted, and then look at our own behavior and go, right, what is my actual problem here? And let's address that actual problem rather than going, I'm addicted to my phone, I must get away from it. You know, so that's my tip.
Well, I was thinking about this the other day when I was at the farm, Ben's family farm, and his grandma was showing me all these beautiful things that she'd knitted, and his mum was showing me all this gorgeous stuff. And, you know, his mum had a full-time job and, you know, was taking care of kids and very, very busy, but still somehow had the time to make these. And these were unbelievable fine knits that just would have taken countless hours to make. And I was kind of looking at it thinking, like, how did you have the time to do that? And I think it's because they didn't have outside of work pressures when they left work at, I mean, I find time for crochet, but I conscientiously walk away from my phone.
You create
I create the time. Yeah. And a lot of people claim that they don't have time to do these kind of activities when in fact, if you every hour spend 10 minutes mindlessly scrolling on Facebook, like after 8 hours, that's 8 times 10, that's 80 minutes. I'm like, damn it, I have to do maths on the spot. Shit. That's 80 minutes, which in hours is like, like an hour, and 20,
an hour
minutes.
And 20 minutes.
Yeah. See, I know how to do numbers. That's an hour and 20 minutes that you could spend, you know, crocheting or knitting or baking or making your own yogurt or, you know, doing pottery or doing all of those things that you think that you don't have time for. And it doesn't seem like much time, but when you add it all up, that's a lot. And that's only 10 minutes every hour for like during a work day.
That's it. And
that adds up to an
hour. And I was going to say, like, I think the reason I don't feel addicted to my phone is because I still get stuff done. Like the time that I spend on my phone doesn't get in the way of me getting the important things done. And so that's why I feel like, you know, I think that's why taking it off my phone didn't really change my life, because if I need to just buckle down and concentrate for 6 hours and not, you know, not go anywhere and not look at my phone, I kind of just do. So I think, yeah, the whole self-knowledge thing and the whole understanding of where you're at is really important when it comes to, yeah, don't just ditch your phone just because everyone else is and it's cool. Ditch it because you actually have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So your second tip.
So my tip number two is to leave your phone at home often. I do this all the time and I'm one of the only people I know who does this. Yes. If I'm going to the theater, I won't take my phone with me. So I'll make sure I tell whoever I'm going with that I won't have my phone, so they know not to be late and they know exactly where to meet me. And the sky honestly has not fallen in once. I'll do the same thing if I'm going to the movies or, you know, if I'm going to a friend's house for dinner. And it's actually – I do this because when I travel, I love that 24-hour overseas flight where I don't have to worry about anything. Yep. And I don't have to catch up on Facebook. And every time I land in a new country after being without communication for 24 hours, I get to the other country and out of 100% of the communication I've received, 1% is important. And it's just such a wake-up call of how much time I would have wasted every hour sifting through all of that information, trying to find the important stuff when it takes just the exact same amount of time to sift through it once you've received it all.
Yeah, no, I totally agree that. I don't think I could leave my phone at home.
See, that's the thing. People are so funny about it, but you have to try it. It's so good.
I just like, but what if someone gets lost and needs to contact me? And I know what you're saying though. You just say in advance, I don't have my phone, so just be on time.
To be fair, I rarely leave my phone at home when I'm going out on my own. I'll leave my phone at home if I'm going out with Ben or if I'm going out with a friend. Or if I'm going to a friend's house, I'll leave it in the car.
Right. Yep. Cool. I like that idea. So my second tip is from Lee Harris, and she said, "While I haven't deleted Facebook off my phone, I do have it set so I can only access it when I'm connected to Wi-Fi. So no mobile data use." And I think that is quite a good way of going about it. And she's speaking about Facebook specifically, not
I loved that.
Yeah,
too.
So I thought, oh, that's a nice way of just, you know, it just puts a little bit of a lid on where and when you can access Facebook. So it doesn't mean you're not ever accessing it or you have to delete the app off your phone, but it just means you can only really be on it when you're at home, maybe, or when you're at the office. So maybe not at the office, but yeah, I like that idea. I like that very much.
It also saves you plowing through shitloads of data as well.
Yes, definitely.
So my third tip is every time you find yourself dicking around on your phone, give yourself permission to do something you actually like to do. So the next time you catch yourself like slumped in front of the TV, scrolling through, not really watching TV and not really looking at your phone, give yourself permission to read a book or find a TV show that you really love and watch that, do some baking, call a friend, and you'll soon realize how much time you spend on your phone and how much time you could be spending doing things that you prefer instead. Having said that though, if it is your relaxation time and you're having a lovely time catching up with friends and it's a positive Facebook experience rather than a negative one of I'm bored and I kind of want to see if that horrible girl from high school got fat, that's bad. None of that. You want to do more of the positive. Oh, my friend's had a baby. I'd love to have a chat about that. Or, you know, there's a really funny conversation going on here about this particular thing that I want to engage in. So just make sure that just check yourself when you're on Facebook and ask yourself if you're having a positive or a negative Facebook experience. If it's positive, you can stay. If it's negative, tap out of there. We're also going to take a short break now to introduce you to our new sponsor. If you're a regular listener of Straight and Curly, you'll know self-improvement is totally our bag. And what better way to self-improve than to go back to uni? With Open University's new offering, you can now study single module postgraduate units from leading Australian universities without having to enroll in an entire degree, which is awesome if you're a little bit commitment phobic and don't really know what you want to study.
Hey, that's right. Have you been thinking about upskilling in your current job or maybe even changing career altogether? Because some of our listeners definitely have. And if you're wondering how the heck you'll find the time to do that, Open Universities provides you with the opportunity to learn the knowledge and skills that you need to make that change without the big time commitment.
Each unit is delivered by learning experts from some of Australia's leading universities, and you can study awesome subjects like cybersecurity, which sounds fascinating, actually. I was like, what do you even study in cybersecurity? Democracy and dictatorship, economics, marketing, mental health management, and online writing for those of you that are interested in writing careers.
So why not work in a way that is flexible for you? There are over 100 units to choose from. So head on over to open.edu.au and explore the courses they have on offer. Okay, so my third tip is going to be from Vanessa, and she says, my Facebook has been gone for ages and it's great, but she says, I still log in through Safari if needed, but I log out again and I have a difficult to type on phone password. So this I really like as well, because it means like Facebook, you can still access Facebook on your phone, but you're just making it a bit difficult to do. So as I mentioned before, the way that I got around not having the app on my phone is I just started accessing it through Safari, which was a suboptimal Facebook using experience, but still let me on there. So it kind of naturally stopped me doing that whole scroll down to the bottom and then go back up the top and refresh thing, because it was such a pain in the butt. That said, I do like Vanessa's next step of logging yourself out every time you've finished using it and having to log back in each time, because it's just putting little barriers in place. And it just makes you ask yourself, do I really, really want to go on there? Am I willing to push through having to type this super long password in? And if the answer is yes, then, you know, go for it. Because, you know, as you mentioned in your last tip, Carls, I think, if you're on Facebook and you're scrolling, you can just ask yourself, is there something I could be doing with my time if I wasn't doing this? Like for me, quite often there's not, because quite often what I do is in the afternoons, once I've finished work and dinner's all sorted, I'll go lie on the couch, with one of my kids. One of them will be watching some mind-numbing show on TV, not mind-numbing for them, but mind-numbing for me. So I'll be on my phone. And I kind of allocate that time to be on Facebook and to have a look at what everyone's been up to for the day. So if I was to ask myself in that moment, like, what would I be doing if I wasn't on Facebook? I'd be like, well, I'd be lying here, watching some cartoon. So I'd rather be on Facebook. And I don't feel guilty about it. So yeah, I do like that idea of, making it difficult for yourself to get in. And then if you're willing to push through that difficulty, then, obviously you really want to be on there and you've already given it a good enough thought that it's what you want to do in this moment. So I just think it's one of those whole intentional things, like being mindful and intentional about how you're going about it. And if you can go, I've thought about it and I really want to go on there, then go for it.
Yeah, definitely. I love that one. So my tip number four is to use self-control, the app. I use that that's for Mac users. And there's another one I know that's not for Mac users, but again, because my memory's shit for things that aren't important to me, I don't know what the other one is, but I'm sure there'll be a conversation in the group about different blocking apps and things. I will often block Facebook for the full 8 hours of my day. It just works wonders and stops me defaulting to looking at Facebook. And it just comes up with an error message when I go to look for it. It'll be like, Safari can't find this page. And then I'll think, oh, what's wrong with Facebook? And then I'll realize that I've blocked myself out of Facebook. But it's really good at breaking that habit. Yeah. So if I can access Facebook, I will keep doing that throughout the day. And if I can't access it, every time I access it and I can't get in, it lessens my resolve to actually go and look at Facebook, because I think subconsciously I know it's not going to happen. So, that's such an amazing tool. I use it every single day. It's excellent. The only embarrassing thing is that because I work in so many different fields in for lots of different people, Kelly will email me and say, oh, can you just upload this link into the Straight and Curly group? And I'll have to just embarrassingly say, I'm really sorry, but because I have no self-control, I have blocked myself out of Facebook for the next 8 hours. I'll post it tonight, which makes you just sound like an 11-year-old. I mean, like with Kelly, it's fine. But if I'm working for a big client and they'll say, so if I've done a sponsored post on Smaggle and a client contacts me and they'll say, oh, hey, Carly, can I just grab the Facebook shares and, social numbers from that campaign you did, I'll just have to pretend like I didn't get the email until I can get into my Facebook.
Yeah. I'm not, as we know, I'm not a fan of things that block me, but I again, I try to be mindful about it. So it's kind of the whole breaking the twitch thing, because I do, like, immediately if I'm writing something and I don't know what to write next, I'm like, oh, I'll just go take a break on Facebook. Or if, you know, if I finish up a job at work and I can't ever just move straight on to the next job, I just need to have a little bit of a mental break, and I'll be like, oh, I'll just go on Facebook. In situations like that, I do have to kind of catch myself and go, no, unless you're going on there for a reason. If you're going on there just to kind of have a break or ease boredom, like, go for a walk around the block, because that's a much more effective way to transition from one job to another than going down the Facebook rabbit hole, which is what you tend to do. So Ellen's tip is my fourth tip, and she says, I haven't actually deleted the apps on my phone, but in early July, I implemented some massive personal rules, including removing my phone from my sight almost all of the time between the hours of 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. I wonder if she means 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. I don't know. Anyway, she said her goal during those times is to only check Facebook on an actual computer. And she says it has drastically reduced her time on Facebook and has also massively improved her anxiety levels and productivity. So she said, best decision ever. You won't regret it. And yeah, so I'm a week into having deleted the Facebook app off my phone, and it didn't make any difference to my anxiety levels or my productivity. So that's, I guess that's why I keep coming at it from the point of view of, you know, look at how you're using it, or look at how you're using your phone in general, before taking any drastic measures. That said, it's fun to experiment on yourself, because you never know. Like this, I had no idea what this experiment would do to my life. And I was actually quite surprised to find that it had, like, kind of no real effect.
It's actually interesting. This is completely off topic, but just like on the topic of self-experimentation, I've given up coffee in the last month just because I'm doing all those tests and things, and my doctor recommended giving up caffeine. And I've been sleeping so much better since not having coffee. I get tired earlier in the evening. So at about 10:30, I feel like going to bed. So I've been sleeping more and feeling more rested throughout the day, having given up caffeine. And I was not even really a daily coffee drinker. I'm a peer pressure coffee drinker. So if other people are drinking it, I'll drink it. But if no one does, then I won't really think about it. So since stopping doing that, it's been really interesting. And that's why self-experimentation is so important. Even if you don't think it's going to make a difference, just try stopping doing that thing and seeing what happens.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. And I'm a big fan of, like, N equals one. Like, you know, it's all well and good for something to have worked well for someone else, but just because it's worked well for someone else doesn't mean it's going to work for you. But also vice versa, just if something else hasn't worked for someone else, that doesn't mean it's not going to work for you. So that, I always say to people, like, you know, here's something that's worked for me. It may not work for you, or it may, but, you know, the only way you're going to find out is if you give it a go. So yes. So you have one final tip, Carls.
I do. If you can delete your Facebook profile, so your whole account, I would absolutely love to try this, but I can't because of work. And if I wasn't an internet person, I really don't think I would have Facebook, or at the very least, I'd have my settings set really tight, so I'd only see things I wanted to see, and it would be mainly for family and friends and that kind of thing. I don't necessarily mean forever, but if you're really struggling with keeping yourself off Facebook, just really give it a go. Have a go of removing your profile for a little while and see how that works out for you. I mean, I would love to experiment with that. It's that option is not available to me, but yeah, if anyone wants to give it a go and then pop back into the Facebook group and tell us how it
like
went.
Can you pause your profile or something, or
I think you can maybe hide it or deactivate it or something. I think there's options for people who want to have. I know of a lot of people that have gone off Facebook and then come back on.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm just having a little bit of conniption.
You're having heart palpitations.
Yeah, I am.
Thinking,
like,
about it.
Who would I be if I'm not on Facebook? That's a problem. That's a bit of a problem. Okay, so that's the last of our tips for today. As always, guys, if you've got some thoughts on this episode, or if you have some, yeah, just we're keen to hear from more people about, you know, if you deleted Facebook from your phone, or if you deleted, or if there's another app that you're particularly addicted to, like Instagram or Pinterest, or if you're actually just the whole, you're addicted to your actual phone itself, we're interested to continue the conversation in the Facebook group as always. So hope to see you in there.
Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.